Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And you have behind me the sound of the printer as I'm planning this show. Okay, when today's show is our last show before Rosh Hashanah, and that is very important because we're going to not muck it up today with all kinds of political stuff. We're not going to mention the C word. We know the one. We're not going to have battles about inoculation. We're going to become lofty. We're going to be thinking about our future. We're going to be talking about the things that unify us. And indeed, with God's help, today's show will bring us all to a place of hope, delight, enthusiasm, and optimism. So before we go to our first break, I do want to say Erev Tov, Laila Tov. It's like midnight in the United States and Canada. Boker Tov, Eretz Israel. The UK is listening in this morning. Australia, Italy, Belgium is with us, and Norway. Indeed, the chat room is open as well. So if you are listening in from someplace that I haven't mentioned yet, tell me. Say, hey, Andrea, I'm listening in. Today's show also, before we go to the break, I'm nervous. I have so much I want to share with you. I called it Dafka, deliberately, Twilight and Angels. We're standing at the twilight of our year. I thought about it today as the sun was rising and preparing the show. It was coming up so rapidly, racing by, just as the sun sets. Very rapidly. We aren't angels. We're human beings standing at the twilight, at the cusp of beautiful tomorrows. And I pray that with our foot forward, entering Shabbat, we will start a beautiful year.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Okay, so it's a beautiful morning in Yerushalayim, and I cannot feel, is this a word? I cannot feel humbler, more humble. I think that's it. Let me check the window here. They're building. They're doing such construction, which I think also is very exciting. The construction that is taking place in Eretz Israel, not just hotels and the tourist industry, but they're building homes for the ingathering of exiles. Talking about the ingathering of exiles, this week, my grandsons, the newest arrivals to Eretz Israel from my family, began school. They left a country that was very comfortable, very loving, very embracing, and for all intents and purposes, a wonderful place to live free as Jews. And they came home to Israel with a father, unnerved, not knowing the language, knowing he has to seek work, a home to rent that is already out of budget, And I saw the videos of them standing in line with little Hebrew-speaking boys, my grandsons. How was the first day? It was fantastic. What did you understand? Nothing. It was only children with complete faith in their parents. We, the parents, who are God's emissaries to provide hope, belief, comfort, security to our children. And they believed it and they loved it. And they went to school. And I thought to myself, it's a family of heroes. Anybody who does not the impossible, but does the difficult in a world that is obsessed with creature comforts are heroes in my book. And today's a show for heroes because we're all part of the great unfolding year to come. And I would be remiss not to begin today's show by talking of an event that occurred in Israel this week. Those of you who know Israel, who love Israel, who pray for Israel. For Jews who are not home yet, I need to tell you a story. I believe it was 2 weeks ago, a blessed, handsome, vibrant, with his entire future ahead of him, soldier named Barel Hadaria Shmueli, a border policeman, with counting on the fingers of perhaps one hand and half his toes, time left in the army, was shot in the face fighting terrorists near Gaza. And I believe that it was Monday night when he succumbed to his wounds. If prayer could invade, infest, pierce every heart. People in the supermarket, people at the hotel, people at the doctor's offices, people paring their toenails were people at prayer in Israel and beyond. And our prayers were different than what God had in mind, God had planned. What everyone listening to this program must understand is that once a child puts on the uniform of the Israeli army, he is everyone's child. And as I heard of this death, my husband Ronnie and I, we were driving to a wedding in the south of the country, indeed, not far from the border of Gaza. How many weddings have any of us been to in the era of COVID? And it was a wedding of someone in my family. I have so little family here. It was a cousin's child was getting married. And as we're in the car, and we had a lot of strangers in the car, young people from Jerusalem who needed a ride, who were dropping us WhatsApps, can we pick them? Even one boy, indeed, we couldn't stop. He was waiting by the Western Wall. We opened the door and he dove into our moving car. And we could only shut the sliding door of the van, like at the next traffic light. It was pretty funny. But I read this news as the young people were gossiping and giggling in the car and sharing thoughts and dreams and ideas and vignettes of the couple that were being married. And I was having trouble breathing. What right did I have to dance? Am I mad? Who are we to celebrate? Overeat, raise glasses while shouting L'chaim. At the same time, a mother and father were screaming because of the unimaginable that had befallen them. That, my friends, that is the miracle, the passion, indeed, the correctness of Israel. Not one person, not one soul at that simcha was unaware of the agony that had unfolded in another corner of our blessed country. We are the miracle. We remain defiant. Barel Hadaria Shmueli was our son. He was our brother. He was our friend. There, but for the grace of God, goes every one of us. And so we marry. The world is cruel, and hopelessness lies dormant in corners. But we marry. We dance. Because the world tries to stop the Jews from dancing. We plan and birth. And not only exist, but we thrive. Because the sacrifices of too many to mention. But not excluding the valor, the heroism, and the holiness of Barel Hadaria Shmueli. And under the chuppah, before shouting the words Mazal Tov, a groom stomps on the glass, commemorating the destruction of our holy temple. It is a reminder that without the temple, we are only partially unified, partially standing under one umbrella. The glass reminds us of something else. Joy without memory. Joy without honoring that and those who came before us. Joy that is unbridled is irresponsible. It's temporary. Along with the bride and groom, loving family and rabbis, under that chuppah hovered the soul of Barel Hadaria Shmueli. Because it was his wedding as well. Because he was us. May his memory be for a blessing, even as we celebrate new life, new dreams, new determination, and indeed, unwavering faith. Today's parsha is called Nitzavim. Nitzavim. The name means to be present, to be accounted for, to stand erect, indeed, to appear. Is there a better description of the duty of a Jew than this word, Nitzavim? Every Jew is responsible to be present and accounted for. Every Jew must be a proud Jew, standing erect, standing strong, standing loyal to tradition and Jewish values. You know, the Torah specifically warns, again, I have said it before, I will say it again, I will say it until my last breath. It is not a history book. It is a blueprint. And it warns against any attempts to shirk one's duty, to be absent without leave, so to speak, says Rabbi Wein. It's the same thing. To sit and say, this has nothing to do with me. It's like desertion on the battlefield. It's a crime. To say, that's them, not me. But if we view ourselves as in a sense, having to report each day, what am I doing today to make the world better, to make the world more holy, to make my family more complete, to bear on my face a countenance that defines belief in a God in heaven and a God who loves me. Holy duty is incumbent upon all of us. It's not about history. It's a never-ending, always renewing, always born. We get up in the morning and we say, Moda ani lifanecha, melech chai v'kayom. Thank you, God, for giving me a day. Not to exist, to take, to chop, to steal, to suck out the air of, but to contribute, to be part of the healing, the holiness, and the health of the world. Every day, Nitzavim, we have a call and a challenge that we cannot and must not ignore. Which is why let us think during the break about how we individually can change the world, starting one mitzvah at a time. See you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller.
And I'm Matt Zucker.
Join us for Lighten Up, where we take a look at the week's current events in Israel and from around the Jewish world through a humorous lens.
If you've been paying attention during these crazy times, you know that it's a challenge to parody life anymore. But join Steve and I as we give it the old college try. Not only is being happy an obligation, but life is just too short to take it all so seriously.
So join me, Steve Miller.
And me, Matt Zucker.
For Lighten Up every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Israel, only on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. We're back. My chair is not moving. Okay. Yeah. We're back. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on the holiest radio station that exists today. That's an unbiased opinion. IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Spread the word. Share the link. All right. So I had a conversation. It was actually a back and forth. I think it was via Facebook Messenger, maybe. I don't think it was a WhatsApp. It's hard for me to type on WhatsApp. Anyway, it was a back and forth from an old friend. I don't mean chronologically old. A friend from my youth, my very early youth. And my friend is not doing well physically. And in her letter to me, oh, she's funny and vibrant and, you know, has a kind of a sardonic kind of a personality. But between the humor and the jabbing and the self-deprecation, I sensed terrible remorse. And she's got this perfect Jewish soul, because we know that every Jew literally has a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within them, a piece of God. That's why when we say we're created in his image, how can we not be? It's the external that kind of defies the holiness within each and every one of us. And it bothered me. It killed me. I ached for her fear, standing at the cusp of the new year, the cusp is at this time of judgment. And there was terrible trepidation. And it made me think. What can I say to her? What can I tell her? Because on top of everything else, apparently she's very, very ill, according to some doctors, which we're not allowed to say. You know, they have like very bleak diagnoses for her. And one of the things I wanted to share with her more than any, she was saying to me, what can I do? My life has been a waste. I'm so not good, you know, listing all of her crimes, much harder on herself than I can promise her Hashem is. And I said to her, I was able to say to her one thing that I believe very firmly. It is never too late. As long as we breathe in and breathe out, there's time for bracha. And it's not for us to determine what that bracha looks like. Nitzavim, we stand before him today at this moment of awe and reverence before the Yomin Noorim. We stand firmly. Moshe is talking to us. His voice is growing weak. He's so old. He's talking to my friend. He's talking to me. He's talking to those listening in. And he's enumerating that every Jew, whether he is a prince and whether he's a water carrier, is alike on one with one respect to God. We shall enter into the covenant with the eternal thy God. It makes concrete, it makes even stronger that our relationship between ourselves and God is equal to the relationship between God and ourselves. Rabbi Avram Twersky, who was Nifta, who passed away this year, he reminds us, he says, you know, for this commandment, he brings down the text, for this commandment that I command you today, it is not hidden, it is not distant, it is not in heaven. Rather, it is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart to perform it. In psychology, Rabbi Twersky teaches us, there's this concept of the disowned self. We talk about it a lot also in coaching, that there are facets of the individual's personality that we deny having. You know, we have feelings that are so repulsive to us that we have trouble admitting even to ourselves that we're capable of thinking, behaving so abhorrently. We have ideas and feelings. God knows what's going on with us. A lot of the times it's not good. We struggle to repress these terrible feelings buried in the subconscious of our mind, hoping never to show it publicly. And it was interesting because these ideas that are buried in the subconscious, they don't remain dormant. Just as we know that nature despises a vacuum, these repressed feelings are dying to come to the surface, to rise. And that we have to, in order to be our best, or at least to be better versions of ourselves, we have to kind of help repress them. We spend a lot of energy with this. You know, the Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnah cites a midrash. I don't even know how you translate midrash. Engineer, type it in, okay? I don't want to say fable, but that there was a king who heard of Moshe's greatness, and he sends his artists to the encampment to draw a picture of Moshe. And when they come back, he gives his pictures to the, how do you even say it, physiognomists, the wise men who were capable of describing a person's character in studying the face. We have the same things today. They're not court reporters. All right. So these physiognomists reported that the picture was a person who was narcissistic. He was arrogant. He was lustful. He was capable of the worst kind of behavior. Well, that's incongruous with what they had heard about Moshe. This king decides to see for himself, and he goes and he meets Moshe. Understand, it's a medrash. And he saw the picture that his artist has drawn was precise to the minutest detail. So he asks Moshe how these physiognomists could have been so wrong. And Moshe explains that these artists, these spiritual artists, can describe only the character traits with which a person was born. Quote, all those things they said of me are innate. I, Moshe, was born with all those traits. However, I transformed them all and channeled them toward positive and desirable goals. It is never too late. This is what Moshe is telling the Israelites. The Torah is not in heaven. It was not intended for angels who have no improper impulses. It is a Torah for mortals, for human beings whose animal bodies can generate desires that a person may wish to disown as being an alien, not part of me. Boys and girls, it's not necessary to do that. We have the strength. We have the capabilities to be masters of our own behaviors. Quote, it is very near to you in your mouth and in your heart to perform it. The Ramban says that every person can be like Moshe. What he means by this is that every person is capable of consciously sublimating all the drives that originate from our physical bodies. We do not have to disown any part of ourselves. We live in a very physical world where people tattoo themselves and cut themselves, where people starve themselves and gorge themselves, where they eat only proteins or eat only vegetables. They disown parts of themselves in order to reach a higher level that they think may bring them to a better place called perfection. It's all there. It's all recorded. Okay. Any woohoo moments today? Yeah. So one thing I do want to share with us, again, I don't like today using today for the purpose of politics, but I do want to say that there's a lot of news today about, I read a quote, it wasn't on Twitter, I don't go into that, but somebody said that anybody who claims to be a Zionist should be ousted from any public forums. No Zionists can participate in discussions of world freedom, of any kind of self-realization societally. And there was an article in last week's Daily News. I don't think I've read the Daily News in, I don't know, decades. But it was by a young man. Interesting. I don't know why I think it is an old man's name. His name is Isaac DeCastro. And he is the founder of a social media-based organization called Jewish on Campus. And he talks about at Columbia, at NYU, at Cornell, at USC, that Jews are threatened to be outed as Zionists. That's the dirty word. And recently, let's see, even at Tufts University, a student judiciary member was silenced when discussing an unquestionably anti-Semitic referendum. In the last section of the show, we're going to talk about what we can do, where we stand, as we stand at the cusp of tomorrow. The world is changing. Safety, as those in the West, and when I say the West, I think you know what I'm talking about. The West being enlightened countries that have embraced Jews over the years. The Palestinian community networks are growing vibrant, vocal. It is now no longer an embarrassment to mock Jews, laugh at Jews, say Jews do not deserve to be at the table. There are choices. Jewish students can try to force their identities in hostile ideologies, or they can begin to see where freedom lies. This is the season of courage as we stand before God, and indeed, as we stand before ourselves. We have choices. The table is ours. It's important to ask those questions. See you on the other side.
Are you tired of political correctness and the fear that you might offend someone?
I'm not afraid to offend you.
Wow, look who's talking tough.
One has to be tough to keep sane today.
Hi, I'm Alan Skorsky.
And I'm Bayla Seabrow.
And join us every Wednesday for The Definitive Wrap as we interview the most sought-after guests and expose progressive trends that masquerade as enlightenment but actually destroy our freedoms.
We are the No Woke Zone, so buckle up for this exciting show.
Buckling up, but I'm driving.
Sure, you can drive, but I'm the navigator.
Tune in for the no-nonsense, The Definitive Wrap Show, every Wednesday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh. Time is racing. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, the most famous, the most enjoyable, the most exciting section of the show called the Devar Torah. So in this Parsha, okay, we got a lot. I hope you're taking notes, but not on Shabbos, of course. At least the mental notes. Okay, in this Parsha, Moshe warns the Jewish people of the evils that will befall us if we fail to observe the covenant we made with Hashem at Sinai. I need everybody who's listening in to remember that it is not a mistake that this is the Parsha at the end of the year before we begin Rosh Hashanah. Tragically, in the last 2,000 plus years, I'm not doing the math now, there has never been a period in Jewish history when Jews haven't experienced just terrible consequences of being uprooted from our land and cast into another. But while in that long history of the Galut, the diaspora, Jews have always had to live with the curse of having been spit out of our land, what could they do? They couldn't do more than just desperately pray for a time in the future when Jews could return to Israel. And with the return of the Jews to Israel and the establishment of the Jewish government, imperfect as it may be, in the land after more than 2,000 years of exile, we pray that the future has arrived and the time has come. Those of us who have witnessed from the sidelines, there are people listening to this show who were alive. It's not that long ago at the time of the Shoah. And they, I'm sorry, I lost my notes here. They witnessed the sidelines, the rebirth of our land. They have to ask themselves, by virtue, how did we merit living in this time? Indeed, anybody, how did we merit? Why now? Why did God bring my soul into live at this time, to these parents, to this historical junction? What have we done? More importantly, what are we doing to earn our admission ticket to this period in history? This is a question that demands thought, maybe revisiting, reassessing, reorganizing our entire way of thinking, how we view our role as Jews, as citizens of the world, how we define our Jewishness. Which aspects do we wholeheartedly and enthusiastically adopt? And which are we becoming, shall we say, sloppy about? You know, it's not an accident that this Parsha, Nitzavim, it's read either on the Shabbos immediately preceding Rosh Hashanah or right before the period of Slichot, the nightly, or actually for my husband, it's the early morning prayers that precede the day Rosh Hashanah. This is the time of Teshuvah, repentance, our returning to Hashem and asking for the immediate ge'ulah, the immediate redemption, Hashem returning to the land of Israel and bringing his people back to their home. You know, it seems, however, that, again, for lack of a better term, Western Jews, which means South African, Northern Europe, okay, who are still, you know, oh, South American, can we throw them in there too, who are still delusionally or perhaps comfortably ensconced in the land of their saving, they have forgotten, perhaps they never even attained a complete perspective concerning all of our activities that require teshuvah. And if the first step to teshuvah, repentance, is recognizing in what way our ancestors perhaps have missed the mark, it behooves us to question, do Jews outside of Israel genuinely have a sense they are not where they're supposed to be? Not just spiritually, but physically? Many of us in Israel are not where we're supposed to be spiritually. Or do we have an attitude similar to that of the Jews of Poland, who in the era before the Shoah, before the Holocaust, they would stay in a kind of half-joke, Polanka. Poland was said Polanka. Of a Polanka said, in Hebrew, means here rests God. You know, there's dual meaning to the word vishav, which is used twice in the opening of this parsha. Vishav. It's pointed out that there are two types of Jews in exile. We'll get to the explanation. The first, vishav, refers to Jews who feel the pain of the galut, of the diaspora, and they yearn for that land of Israel. These are the Jews that Hashem will first bring back, vishav, bringing them back. But the second vishav refers to those Jews who have settled permanently, so they think, and comfortably in the galut, and who indeed have no yearning for the land of Israel. I get these notes all the time. You know, Andrea, Israel isn't for everyone. Oh, they too will be gathered and returned to Israel, but they will be the last ones home. That is the meaning of dual prophecy. The Jewish people must be roused to yearn for the Geula. But even when we sense a necessity for this redemption, we have to be roused further and encouraged to physically, actually return to Israel by action and deed. Somewhere in my notes I wrote, let me just even see where I put it, that just recently, South Africa, in the month of July, had the largest aliyah to the land of Israel in the past 44 years. Let me tell you something. The Jews of South Africa who came to Israel in July, and I believe even trickled into August, were not being pursued by enemy armies. I've been in their homes. I've been in their communities. I've been in their synagogues. I've been in their restaurants. I've been in their shops. Oh my gosh, the beauty, the magnificence, the comfort, the delight of life in Johannesburg. But they yearned. Whatever their understanding was, whether they subscribed to the dual Vashav or only one, they bravely came home. For more than 2,000 years, Jews as a community, we had no real opportunity to blow that shofar of redemption. Whatever Jewish yearning there was, they could not gain entry into the land of Israel from the lands they were sitting in under persecution, indeed, in which they were being slaughtered. They couldn't even blow the shofar katan, a little shofar, but they were forced to flee. When possible, fleeing from one land of persecution to another. There was no liberation available for the Jews of Europe 80 years ago. And with the rebirth of the state of Israel in our time, in our day, Jews now can enter their land. But very often, they cannot leave the lands of their dispersion. Nearly a million Arab in the Arab lands, Jews, a million of them. How did they come to Israel? Not with nefesh b'nefesh, forced to run for their lives. Like today's Jews of yesterday's Eastern Europe, Western Jewry, we have an exceptionally rare golden opportunity because the doors of delusion are rapidly or slowly sliding closed. And if we are to learn from history, we should know that one day we too may need to hear that blast of the shofar. And if that day should happen, the state of Israel, because of the sacrifices of other Jews, like mentioned in the beginning of this program, the state of Israel will be there for them, ready to welcome all Jews home. So despite living in safety and continued prosperity, laying before all of us lies an opportunity, a virtually unparalleled opportunity in Jewish history to blast as a community the shofar gadol, the great shofar of redemption. Everybody listening, and for whomever it is possible, just a suggestion, resolve this Rosh Hashanah to seize this blessed moment in our history. And if someone says to whatever it is they want to do, to whatever it is to grab their true strength, if someone says, I cannot do it, whatever the it is, I cannot be better, I cannot stop speaking evilly of others, I cannot stop cheating, I cannot stop eating food which is denied to me by my birthright, I cannot come to Israel, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. What does Moshe remind us? He reminds the Jewish people that they are nitzavim, strong, capable, resilient. We can stand up to crises. We can stand up to problems. Moshe appears to their self-image appears to their self-image and their strength. So what can we do, Andrea? I've done everything wrong. Skip that negative. Let's grab onto the right. This attitude of Moshe Rabbeinu is the necessary attitude and correct in this period of time. We can't appeal to God on the basis of personal incompetence and weakness. It's like requesting further cash flow from lenders into a venture that's failing. We are not failing. We do not fail. So when we pass before our Creator with the days of judgment just ahead, stand with your back straight and your heart strong. Resolve to say, invest in me and my family. We will not desert the covenant. Shabbat Shalom u'mivorach from Jerusalem.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.